Hey, cycling fans, Between Two Wheels podcast, episode 23. Here's what we have on tap for today. First, we're going to jump right into Coach Nate Dunn's coaching tip, talking about making progress on the bike and your cycling potential versus your deliberate practice. Is it your genes? And as always, we'll have a link to the actual article that corresponds with this coaching tip as well. Next, we're going to jump right into the cycling news of the day, some commentary, as well as coverage of the cross race in Folsom this last weekend. At which point, at the end of the podcast, you're going to hear about, I think, four interviews with some of the cyclists there. So stay tuned for all the ramblings to get to the good stuff at the end. As always, you can like us, review us on any of the subscription platforms out there, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbeam, Overcast.fm, Google Play, as well as find us and like our Facebook page, Between Two Wheels. That's the number two, Between Two Wheels. So I hope you enjoy what you have today. As always, Nate Dunn.
Hi, this is Nate Dunn from Data Driven Athlete with a quick coaching tip. So sometimes riders will get frustrated because they feel that even though they're working really hard on the bike, they're simply no longer able to make progress on the bike. And what this has been called in the past is simply a non-response to training. And sometimes riders will give up on training and say, I'm simply a non-responder. I'm not good enough to get better. And a recent study took a look at this and found that across all of their participants in the study, they were able to eliminate non-response to training simply by applying principles of progressive overload to each participant's training. And what this means for us in a practical sense is that if you've reached a plateau in your training, or if you feel that you can no longer get better, to take a closer look at different elements of your training and make sure that you are progressively working either longer or harder in your training to achieve the results that you want. If you want to learn more about this concept of progressive overload, you can check out a post over at our blog titled How to Make Progress on the Bike over at datadrivenathlete.com. Thanks.
Welcome back to another episode of the Between Two Wheels podcast. This is Tyler Yonke. I'm with Kurt Mills, Chris Flower. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. Breaking news, hot off the press. Phil Guymon, clickbait. Who wants to go here? No. So there's a new story. I'm going to start right with this because he's starting to irk me a little bit. He's a cookie monster, Kurt. That's what I'm saying, okay?
Okay, gotcha.
Evidently, in his book, and granted, I have not bought the book. Chris, are you buying the book?
It's not on my Amazon list at this time.
Okay, not
unfortunately.
You, Kurt, I'm pointing at you. Are you going to buy his book?
I'm not. I won't buy his book, no.
I may buy his book only because I got to get to the bottom of this stuff.
I wasn't going to buy his book because it irked you so much.
No, I don't care. The news clip out is that he said there's something. Do you have it with you? Do you have the news part, Chris?
I can summarize it for you really quickly.
Summarize it, and then I'm going to pontificate and rip on him.
Please do. So the general tone is that the excerpt from his book suggests that Cancellara was using a motor when he was at San Remo? Milan-San Remo. From that, he says, yeah, I don't really have proof of that, but that's a suspicion because his pedal stroke and just everything looks so unusual about it. And
so then Cycling News reaches out to him, and then he kind of gets all, oh my God, this is clickbait. That's not happening. I'm just trying to tear down some heroes so that my buddy Alex Howes gets some more recognition. So why are you writing it in your book?
Right.
Isn't his book just the old school clickbait then?
I think that's the cash register bait.
There's some bait going on there. All right, it's a little annoying. I'm gonna have to read this to make sure. The whole motor in the bike, yes, we've seen that, right? But having it with some of the pros in Cancellara, I think the big one was him. And actually, Phil said, hey, everyone in the pros, there was a few guys, and then Cancellara was acting weird, and there were some few guys in some situations. I hope he's not talking about Ryder Heserdahl and when his tire went off. And
I watched that video 1,000 times.
You did a full Zapruder film breakdown of it?
I don't know who Zapruder is.
Okay, JFK, this former president, was shot, and there was a film about it. And that, does it ring a bell?
I'm familiar. Yeah, that was Ted Cruz's dad, I believe, right?
Well, not all the documents have been released to confirm that, Chris, Kurt. But yeah, you could be right. All right.
So just to kind of read a quote from whatever it is that he gave to Cycling News. He says, "I don't feel like it's news. My goal was to give people new heroes and tear down the old heroes. It was always frustrating for me to see the fans. They love Jens, Cancellara, the Slex, and they don't know who Alex House is. And the real people I think deserve admiration didn't get enough. That was something I tried to correct in a way with the book."
Okay.
So it just seems like he's attacking people at random to help his buds. And I don't know if that's the best approach to sell books.
Well, you've got, I mean, if you want to rip on some people for, bad conduct in the field, race tactics, maybe, they're not as good as they may seem to be, those kind of things, that's fine. But I mean, you're going to jump on the bandwagon of saying he's motor dope. Why don't you just come out and accuse riders that haven't been, tested positive with doping too? I mean, well, that seems like.
Even if you go back to Phil Guymon's Twitter back in July of last year, he says, he basically said that until they find a motor in the World Tour, that he thinks it's bullshit. So it's a weird switch up. Obviously, he was probably writing the book during that. So it's a weird change in that comment.
Phil Guymon aside, I'll read his book. I'll give him some money and we'll go on from there. We had the last week, Lemby Park, cyclocross. Chris and I were able to make an appearance out there to watch some of the racing and to get some interviews and basically just have a jolly old time. First of all, what was your impression of just the race? You, Chris, you have actually done some cyclocross. I think we've documented that before.
I wouldn't really say I've done some cyclocross. I did one race. It happened to actually be at Lemby Park last year. Didn't go so well. In my defense, I jumped into the race last minute after doing a bunch of hill repeats on Beatty. So my legs were extensively fatigued. I have no cyclocross bike skills whatsoever. I was pretty much just in the way.
This wasn't the one that you crashed in the warm-up, right?
No, that was not. So I guess I've done like 1.25 bike races on the cyclocross scene.
So what do you remember from this race and this course from when you did it?
The off-camber hills were incredibly slippery. The routes were unpleasant to ride over.
Was the weather good or bad when you did it?
It was sunny, but it was the day after a rain event, so similar. It was a pretty slick course.
Okay.
You have to go through sand pits. I don't equate that with bike riding for me. It's not fun. it's really difficult.
No, most cyclocross is not. Kurt, what do you have you been out there at all to any of those cross races?
No, I haven't. I just.
Have you done cross before?
I've done one race. I was just marveling that Chris calls a rainy day a rain event. It's kind of an official way.
Wasn't that Romney called it eating event or something like that? We had dinner events or something.
Yeah. No, I've never raced. I think we should probably look to Chris to answer.
You did a.
That's rodeo cross. Rodeo cross isn't. Yeah. I think the real cyclocross racers wouldn't consider that a race. And the way I did it was more, it wasn't a race.
He stopped at the food trucks every
It was an obstacle course. Like, I technically made it around, but I certainly wasn't racing anybody.
What was the TV show a few years ago? I think it was imported over here from, Japan, where these people went through one of these obstacle
courses. Oh, Ninja Warrior?
Maybe, something like that.
Something else.
But that's basically what you were doing on a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avoiding the big
right.
foam hands punching you and
jumping over
cannons.
Puddles, yeah. Crawling over walls, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
I remember from my cyclocross races, now teammate Jeff Scott politely asking me to get out of the way, I think three times while he lapped me three times.
And in the Lemby Park one.
Yeah. So it was definitely a big difference in skill set there.
So we talked to Audrey Beely and she actually,
I think it's Beely.
Yeah. Okay, well, in the interview, she actually says her name, so I think you're going to get corrected there. Audrey, you can correct us, too, if you want. However, she talks about the roots, the off-camber, and exactly what you were saying there. She won. And so we talked to her and a few other people, John Novikoff, Scott Hooper, and Jeff Scott as well.
So I think I saw John Hopper. Novikoff was racing on a mountain bike as opposed to your traditional cyclocross bike.
Yeah, I guess that's the entryway in. If you don't have a cross bike specific, you can do that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's look at the cyclocross results. So if we look at, I'm just glancing through the results sheet here, and it's daunting, actually. So do you think – I don't remember going to a crit race and seeing – maybe it's me because I'm looking at my results. So is there this many categories and a normal crit or road race?
No way. I mean, there's way more categories here, but I'm assuming they put multiple categories out on the course at
they
the
do,
same time.
Yeah. Okay. So they do like, a little bit of like delayed start between categories
and single speed with gears and stuff like that.
Right.
So we can throw a few shout outs to here. Josh Young, Smith C, he got second place over Joel Hammond.
Well done.
Good to see. I'm mentioning him out because I think he follows our podcast. So good to go. You know, this goes out to anybody. Hey, if you're racing and you're following our podcast, let us know, and we will look for your results, even if it's a, you know, deep in the results sheet. We'll call you out.
We're looking for Jason Smith. Is he on here?
Jason Smith. I don't think he raced.
Okay.
We do have Audrey. She won the women's single speed. Like I said, we'll have an interview with her following some of our commentary. So
Audrey,
I'll look for that.
Bule.
Could be. Yes. Yeah. I think that's how she says it.
Okay.
But we'll let her confirm that.
Excellent.
What else do we have here? Any other results? Let's go to the – you saw Julie Young, who just baffles me. Look at this. So women's A, if you look at the results here, the winner, Caroline Nolan, 28 years old. Second place, Julie Young, 52. Third place, Teal Stetson Lee, 32. The next place is 32. Fifth place is 48. So she's 52 years old and 19 seconds back on the winner. Is that impressive?
If you've ridden with Julie, you know that that's what she can do. I mean, she's like you said, she's a former pro. I think she was a pro for how many, like a decade or more?
Yes. Right. Well, I remember her very well. Not me personally, but you know, in the news. And she was one of the stars of racing. Yeah.
Yeah. So not surprising to see her name there.
Interesting. A little side of. So it was a few years ago. I didn't know that she was living in town. And we were going up Ridge Road on a Saturday Coffee Republic ride. And I was having not a great day, but it was doing okay. And I was sitting on her wheel, and she just kept going. And I'm like, oh, you could just tell the way she was riding. I'm like, this is someone, I don't want to say special, but someone who definitely knows what they're doing on a bike for years on end.
Right. And just like her pedal stroke just looks like somebody who's ridden the bike for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We got to the top, and then I was talking to her, and that's when she called me Kurt. So there you go.
You're welcome.
What about the men's C's? We had John Novikov was in there. What race did he end up doing?
He was in the B35+.
B35+. Do you have the results on that?
I know he came in seventh place. He kind of made I guess he called it a rookie mistake in that he took an extra warm-up lap on the course and came around to the back of the field all lined up, ready to go. So he ended up starting at the back of the field, and he said that makes a big difference in cyclocross racing because you want to have a good position so you're not having to bob and weave your way through the field. So he kind of started off on the back foot, unfortunately.
Sounds like he doesn't have a lot of punch off the line is what I'm hearing.
He's definitely lacking power.
Yeah, if you've ever seen him, he doesn't look anything like Thor, right? I mean, in that race, so Ryan O'Dell wins a Folsom bike. Antonio Miranda comes in second, just 10 seconds back. I ended up seeing the finish of that.
And you look, very good.
Yeah, and John's seventh place, and his field was actually a good size, 34, and he gets seventh place at just a minute 13 back. So pretty impressive. If he said he started back so far and had to really move himself up. So
yeah, and Antonio raced the men's A35+ earlier in the day, so he's doing that on his second race, which is pretty good performance.
So very good.
I did talk to him out there, and his son had done the little kids race. And said, actually, I was like, oh, did you just do a lap? And he's like, no, I think they went for like 20 minutes or something like that. So he had to force his son to go around a few times. Also, what's interesting, and, you know, I'm new to cross in a sense, is he, for the pit, he actually had a full-on bike. You know, we put wheels in the pit. He puts a full-on, he had an extra cross bike.
That's wow.
Well, that's in the
pit. And that's typical, I know. Because that one had the motor, I think.
Well, he's got a sponsor. Oh, so that probably helps.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
So, what's your experience with cross? Have you been to any cross? Kurt, have you been to cross races before? Like a level besides just local stuff? Have you watched? Do you watch any on TV?
I've only been to local stuff. So Robert Terra or Bob Terra, I've watched him a little bit, and I think I've had him. had him stay, and he's tried to show me those Crosshairs videos with some guy who's really good at cross hosting them.
It's like Between the Barriers,
I think it's Jeremy Powers. Oh, okay. But no, I don't really have any experience with it.
Have you gone down to see the WESAC Grand Prix by any chance?
I haven't. The only real race I've gone to see was last year. There was a race in Auburn at a park, and it was if you remember last winter, it was just raining constantly.
Right.
And it was the most torn up course I've ever seen. In fact, I think there was a GoFundMe after the race to collect money to go to the Parks and Rec division to help restore the course after that. But it was a, I can't imagine racing on it. It just looked, it was incredible. And I think Julie Young won that day as well.
Where was that at?
That was, there's a park in Auburn. It's kind of on the backside of North Auburn. I can't remember the name of it.
I think it's just Auburn Regional Park off Grandy Drive.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll say it's there. Yeah.
Chris is like human Google Maps.
Played some softball there.
My only experience is when I lived in Boulder, they had a race there in Boulder around the campus. And then I went and saw Nationals, which was in Denver, like Littleton, just outside of Denver. I think it was 97. And that was pretty cool. It was a little bit of smattered snow out there as well. And, you know, seeing those guys go around, it was impressive. I did not race nor try to.
Right.
But that's my only experience. Yeah. And it's fun. It's a fun event to go to. And that's what I was actually going to say. So you go out there and you see it's a little different. It's kind of a festive atmosphere, right? They had beer hand ups to John. You know, you take your family. It's a pretty good atmosphere.
Right. Yeah. There's a few criteriums that are sort of like that, but nothing like, you know, Cross does that on a Wednesday night at, you know, Rodeo Cross, where they've got that Enchanted Forest where everybody's handing out beers and stuff. So they do a really good job. That community seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what crits do you think equate to that? Since
Rafael, I mean, yeah, that's a fun crit. You know, obviously they're not doing beer hand ups, but
Catskill is probably similar.
Catskill.
That's what I'd say. I've gotten a beer hand up at Nevada City. You got to be real competitive to get one of them. But yeah, that's Bend, Cascade is a really good one. Boise would probably be good. I've never been there, but I've watched videos. And some of those, like when they do that Southern series, when they go down and do some of those.
Like Tulsa Tough.
Yeah. Some of those look like a party, right? The night crits.
Yeah, that's true. Men's A's, Jonathan Baker takes the win. Chris and I were able to watch that one from start to finish. And started out with AJ and Scott Hooper off the front, and they had a decent little gap. And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe these guys are gone. And then next thing you know, Jonathan Baker bridges up, and then it's just Jonathan and AJ Snowball, and then it's just Jonathan Baker. And AJ kind of made a little comeback at the end. He only ended down 14 seconds. And I think at one point, I mean, he looked like he probably had half a minute or more on him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It looked like, what I saw when I was watching is Baker caught up to Hooper and AJ, kind of sat on AJ for a while, and then just made the race winning move and pulled away.
Yeah, I guess AJ's been over in Europe or China. He's been in China doing some racing. So
did you do the Tour of Guangxi by any chance?
You know, that Guangxi is...
I think it's an all-encompassing race, so they may have a cyclocross stage.
I know they have a stage where you just carry your bike.
Oh. I'd like to get more coverage of
I think we should look Quan into that.
I don't think there is a possibility of getting more coverage. Well, actually, there should be because we didn't really get any video coverage of it in the first place.
We should stick to what we know with cyclocross.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea.
So they have this whole series, the Sacramento Cyclocross, and let me just go through some of the people that are winning this overall leading. Josh Young in the C's. I think AJ is up on the men's A's now. He was, I think it's second going into, yeah, so AJ is in first place now. Justin Morgan in second, Scott Hooper in third. And that's he rides for us on the road. Jeff Scott, teammate, data-driven athletes in 11th, so good for him. Cody Kaiser down in 13th, so way to go, Jeff. I don't know if Cody's even raced.
Similar to Katarina Nash, probably.
Yeah, great analysis there. You guys can check out the interviews coming up from those guys, and thanks.
Audrey Beely, and I race for the Dirtbirds, and today I race women's single speed.
And how did that go for you today?
You know, I had a great race. I got to battle with this other woman all day or for the whole race, and I ended up passing her at the end, so I felt really good about that.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the scores. We're at Lemby Park in Folsom. That's about the extent that I know about it. What's the course like for you?
Well, this is a unique course because there's a lot of off-camber stuff. There's a lot of up and down. There's varied terrain. There's some mud. There's some sand. There's some grass. So it's a really all-around type of course. A lot of different stuff.
Now, you won then today?
Yeah, I won.
Okay. Well, congratulations. How long was your race?
My race was 30 minutes.
And is that typical for your category?
It varies a lot. The elite women and the other women usually go for 45, and if you go to a bigger race, the single speed women would go for 45 too. So I'd say this is kind of unique that it's only 30 minutes.
Now, how was this course compared to some of the other ones that the whole series that they have?
Well, it's definitely wetter because we had a little bit of rain, so some of the corners are a little slicker, and my tires weren't really the right tires, so I couldn't take all the corners as fast as I wanted to. And then a lot of the up and down stuff has been different. The other courses we've had, they'll have like one climb, but not this up and down and up and down and up and down.
And this one's more of a little more of a hilly then course, I would take it?
Yeah, but not hilly like you'd think of rollers or like climbing on a road bike. Like, imagine you're going the side of a hill, and then you go halfway up the hill, and you go down. And then you go halfway up the hill, and then you go down. So,
is there, you know, I see with cross, there's some barriers to get over, and those kinds. Is this have much where you have to get off your bike?
Yeah, well, we had a set of barriers, and they're uphill, so that made it a little bit more difficult because you're getting off your bike, and then you're running uphill while carrying it. And then I had to run, there's a volleyball pit here, and they take the course through that. I had to run through that. The men that are racing now, they'll probably be able to ride it, but on the single speed, I had to run it.
So what time did you go this morning or this afternoon?
My race was at 10:15.
Okay, so was the course very beat up at that time? And probably there wasn't any rain today, but I know there was yesterday. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. The men that are racing now, they have set lines in all these turns, and the ground has been packed down. They can take that. The sand has changed. It has big ruts in it, whereas this morning it was just all loose all over the place. So it makes a big difference the time of day that you race.
So imagine that might be somewhat of a help for them and somewhat of a hindrance. Like the pit may be worse, but some of the other areas may be more packed. What do you think?
You know, usually when I talk to the men, they say that it's better. Okay. The course has been kind of broken in, and the line, like especially today with the temperature and the grass and moisture conditions, I think it's better for them that it's dried out a little bit and the lines are a little stickier.
Okay, so the men are going right now. What can you tell me? What should we be expecting from there's two groups out there, is that correct?
Yeah, there's two groups. There's the elite men, which is everyone, and they have gears, and then there's a single speed men. And so usually what happens is you'll have like a group of four or five off the front, and they'll kind of battle and rotate and battle and rotate, and then you'll have a group of 10 or so like trying to maybe bridge up to them or stay. So it gets grouped out pretty quickly in the race.
Okay, so that's really good. How long is their race going? Do you know?
Yeah, they're going to race for an hour.
An hour. Okay, yeah. So we have some time to sit back and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
How do you think Scott's out there, and how do you think he's going to be doing?
He's going to do really well. He's in second right now when I saw him go by. So him and another local racer, AJ Snowball, they're battling for one and two right now. And then there was a group of about five guys behind them. I'd like to see AJ and Scott stay out there for an hour, but it's pretty brutal, and there is a little bit of working together, so I'm not going to be super surprised if some of those guys that are in the second group start bridging up, and they've maybe saved a little bit of energy, so we'll see.
So I'm looking out here, there's just from my vantage point, there's a lot of serpentine, and is there areas where they can work together and help drafting off of each other?
Well, they're going to work together. They're not going to work together like pace line together, but if you're sitting behind someone, you're definitely getting a draft. You're definitely getting a break. So I don't know that they're not going to formally work together. They're not going to say like, let's pace line, but the guys that are back there and can sit in a little bit, they're getting a break.
Okay, so you said you did single speed this morning. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What gearing do you use?
Well, today I had a 38-18. And the woman that I was racing against had a 40-18. So my gear was pretty good. She was catching me, as you could imagine, on some of the flatter stuff. But then some of the hills I was able to ride where she had to get off and run. So, and then the men single speed, Oh, we got a leadership change. The men's single speed, they're racing like a 42:17 or so. So there's like pretty much bigger gear.
And how do you make that decision? And you've ridden on this field before, this course before, but how did you make that decision today, or how do you normally for the single speed?
Well, the bike was kind of set up. It was like a last minute mechanical issue to race the single speed today. But I live out in the hills, and so this is kind of the gearing that I need to be able to ride the hills. When you're in the flatter course, you just judge the course. Is it flat? I'm going to want a bigger gear. Today, like I said, it was a last minute, but I knew I'd be okay because there's the hills.
Good deal. So what did you win today? Or is it just a handshake and a pat on the back?
No, I won some stuff. I won a bottle of Michael David Wine Freak Show. I've had it before. It's really tasty. Folsom Bike sponsored the race today. They handed down a shirt, got a nice podium medal. It's also a bottle opener. So, yeah.
Good. Good. It sounds like you had a good day. So we're going to sit and watch Scott, and hopefully he'll take home the win. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been fun.
John Novikoff. And see, I raced...
Who do you race for? Yeah. And what division did you do today?
Yeah, data-driven athlete racing, and I did the Masters 35 Plus B category.
B category. So how many different categories are there in the Masters? Is it typical to like one, twos, and threes, or how does that go?
Yeah, pretty much. It's A, B, C. A being the fast guys, C being kind of the guys learning the ropes.
So how many cross races have you done this year?
This would be the first one.
And how did it go?
It was fun. You know, I started in the back of the field, and it's amazing how much starting position matters. You know, if you get in the front with the front guys, you get to pick your line a little bit better, and there's not a lot of traffic to weave through. I was in the back looking at a lot of people's wheels, so it was fun. It was a hard race. I mean, I think I covered 6.2 miles in about 45 minutes, which is demoralizing, but gosh, that hurt.
Yeah, that's impressive. So how many were in your field? Now, they had different waves of categories that all started there, but how many were in yours?
Yeah, they did. It appeared there was about 30 guys in my field, and they stacked us up, you know, age group. I think 35s, we went first, and then they 45, 55, and so on behind us.
And how'd you do?
I don't know yet. Again, I started kind of in the back, and I wasn't really rolling across rig, but I enjoyed it, man. It was a fun course. I felt pretty good, but I think the starting position kind of hurt me a little bit.
So did you didn't do the single speed, did you?
No, I didn't. I had gears.
Okay, gears. That's good to hear. Tell me about the course and what you expected, first of all.
You know, I've done this course. The last cross race I did was about 4 years ago, and I've done this course before, so I am familiar with the terrain out here. But there's some routes around some of these corners that are you're not really expecting them, and they kind of come out of the blue a little bit if you're not paying attention, especially if you get tired. And I almost fell victim to a set of those halfway through the race, but I kept it upright.
Did you go down at all today?
I did, yeah, first lap, man. Ran into a bunch of traffic going up one of the hills, and I'm the kind of guy who likes to keep my momentum going up instead of trying to power it up. But, yeah, I ran right in the back of somebody, went down pretty quickly, but got back up, and it was all good.
Did you take them down as well, or
no.
Is it?
No. Thank goodness I didn't.
Well, that's one way to move up, right?
It is, you know, and that's a good strategy. I should have employed that right from the beginning, just crashed as many of them out as possible.
So let's talk about your bike setup. So you've only done one cross race this year. First of all, how many have you done in general? Do you have a cross background that goes back, you know, years and years ago?
Not really. There was a season I was kind of into it for a while. I think I did about 5 races that season, but that was it. It's been about 4 years. But I forgot how much fun it really is. The crowd here is just, I mean, the people you run into, everybody's just a good vibe. Nobody's really too uptight with these type of races.
Yeah, I've noticed here it's a little bit more of a, I don't know, party festival atmosphere. So I like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. You can let loose a little bit. I mean, I did take a beer hand up while I was out there. So you can be as serious as you want, but no, it's all fun.
Yeah, like there's a few carnies you got to be wary of, but Ryland's over there, he's safe. So okay, tell me about your bike setup. What did you have going today? I saw you had straight bars. You didn't have the typical cross bike, but tell me about it.
Yeah, I've been looking to cross bikes. I just ended up using my mountain bike. I threw a rigid fork on it, some 40cc tires, and yeah, I just rolled that. Had a little 1x setup. It's pretty light. It seemed to be a good bike for the course, but it would have been nice to have a traditional cross bike on this.
What was your tire pressure? Was that an issue out here today? I mean, I don't know. tell me something that I don't know.
I don't think so. You know, I obviously lower would have been better with the roots. I ran just under 35, probably somewhere between 32, 33, front and back. I didn't do a light on the front, and it helped with the roots. Although I still was sliding on them a little bit towards the middle of the race.
Did you have to dismount at all?
Oh yeah, I was able to ride the sand most every lap except for the last lap. I had to clip out and run through it. But and then there's the barriers. Obviously, you got to run uphill on those. There's no hop in those. It was good.
And your transition was it as slick and as smooth as your triathlon transition?
Heck no. I'm a mess when I try and jump back on the bike. I'm either skydiving and crush myself on the seat, or I don't quite make it high enough.
Do you wear a cup?
I should.
All right. Well, maybe that's a cycling attire you haven't thought of yet. You don't know your result yet.
Does the chastity belt work? I mean, is that
the ironclad? Yeah. Could be. You don't know your result yet. We'll find that out. We'll insert that in here. I'm sure you did good, because I saw the end of it, and it looked like you were close.
I'm probably mid-pack finish, I think. I'll be happy with that.
Did you feel like you had power all throughout, or were you a little waning through there, or how did you feel strength-wise?
You know, I felt pretty good the whole race, except for that last lap. There's a climb kind of on the halfway through the course, and you can ride it. Most guys were riding up it, and I felt a little soft at the last lap. I'm like, thank goodness this is the last lap.
Well, congratulations. And are you going to do any more for the rest of the season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, this fits my lifestyle really well. It's just, I can bring the family out. You know, everything's local. The races are local. It's so easy to get to. You're not driving very far. And it allows me to boat a lot during the summer and ski during the winter. This is like right in between those two seasons, so it's perfect for me.
You're not quitting road, though, are you?
No, not at all, not at all.
Okay, so we've got the big boys out here riding. It looks like Jonathan Baker just went by with AJ Snowball. What's your prediction on this race?
That's a good, you know, I'm going to put my money on Baker. That guy, he's strong. Snowball's been riding super strong, too. I mean, he just came back from China doing a bunch of cyclocross over there, so... but Baker, I mean, he's just, the guy's got a motor. We've seen that in the road season last year. So I'll put my money on Baker.
Snowball didn't bring back any cycling equipment for you, did he, from China?
No, he did not. He doesn't have to. I got boxes showing up all the time. So
we'll cut that part out. All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Tyler.
So you got seven.
All right, so we just got results in here. John, seventh. What do you think about that?
I feel pretty good about that from where I started, like 30 deep. So,
well, I saw you coming through, and you were close to the finish. I know Antonio Miranda got second. I saw him and some Folsom Bike guy first, but you were close to him, so well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think maybe next time I'll start towards the front and see how that plays out.
That would be a good – do you know how far down they hand out prizes for this race?
You know, I don't know. I think obviously three deep, but
I think you should go try to get on the podium, see if you can stretch it to seven. We've seen that done before.
I'll find sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. We'll just throw them all up there. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Just take your kids and that'll feel all right. Good job.
All right, thanks, Tyler.
Hi, I'm Scott Hooper. Race for Top Club Cyclocross A Open today.
And how did it go for you today, Scott?
The first lap felt really good, holding on to the lead. I think about second lap started falling off, and slowly worked my way back.
So, yeah, I saw that out there. You were on the front with Snowball, and you looked pretty good. First of all, what did you expect from this course today? And you've done it a few times, I imagine.
Yeah, this course has always kind of been a tough one. It gets a little sloggy. Really, really thick mud sometimes. Slows you down.
We had rain yesterday. It's dry today. Was it as wet as it's been before? Or you said sloggy, but was it actually riding that way today, a little slow?
Yeah, it was riding a little slow. I think the past years we've had dumping rain, and actually felt a little bit faster than this day before rain.
So did you race? You raced yesterday, is that correct?
Yeah, I raced yesterday as well.
And where was that at?
That was at Coyote Point for the Bass Series.
And how'd that go?
It went good. Did 35-plus A's, came in fourth.
Okay, so were you a little tired coming into today, or you just had an off day?
I always say an off day. I'd love to use an excuse. I was tired from yesterday, but I think it was just an off day.
Today, you were out there, you were with, like I said, Snowball, and then Baker caught up. What happened after that for you?
Probably got into my own head at that point and trying to fight myself to keep on the pedals, I think.
Did you didn't go down today, did you?
No, fortunately not.
Okay, so you're all safe. Your bike looks good. You did not do this. Were you going to do single speed, or do you always do the geared?
Always with the geared. Yeah.
You're not a big single speed fan, or what's up with that?
Never tried. I think I'd like to, though. I think I might like it.
All right. So good job out there today. Sorry it didn't go well. Do you know what you end up placing?
I think I end up in seventh.
First of all, how's the season been going for you for the cross?
It's been doing okay. It's been pretty steady. It started off feeling pretty good. I've kind of digressed a little bit. Hopefully going to start working back up and try to get ready for Nationals.
Where are Nationals this year?
Nationals are going to be in January. Second week in January.
Is it Reno?
Yeah, it's going to be up in Reno.
And so you've got this race is what? How many have you done so far this year?
Oh, I think I'm probably sitting about six or seven right now.
And what's your typical average? How many do you have, you think, in the bank before you get to Nationals?
Well, this is my first year for Nationals. I'm hoping to probably race every weekend until then. So just every weekend still.
Okay, so you've got a little bit of time to peak. So what's the next one coming up for you?
Next weekend is a three-day Santa Rosa, Santa Rosa Cup, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And so the field today didn't look extremely big. What's your typical race size for field size coming into these? Is this a smaller one, bigger one? What do you usually get?
Today is definitely a smaller one. Some of the bigger races, like the Bay Area races, attract a lot more guys. You can see sometimes a starting grid about 40, 50 guys.
The start position, is that a big deal? Is it similar to a crit in that sense where your start position could be detrimental?
Absolutely detrimental, because, I mean, it's that whole shot. Getting up there in front first makes a big difference of how your race goes. You get caught up behind a bunch of guys at the start and some people going down and you lose a front group. It's pretty hard to catch back on unless you got some killer legs.
Today wasn't as big for that, but I mean, it could have been a little bit more detrimental, I guess, for you.
It could have been. There's one kind of techie spot right at the beginning that if someone went down, they could have stopped the whole field and created a pretty good break.
All right, well, good to see you out here today. Sorry I didn't go as well as you wanted, but you know, another bike race in the bank is always good. So
that's it.
Good luck this season.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Okay, we've got another willing participant here.
What's up, Tyler? Jeff Scott. Ride with you guys, DDA. Rode in the A's today, trying to hang on out the back.
Let me look at your bike. You have gears, so you did not do the single speed, right?
No, there's no way I have the fitness, and I think I would just be crying in the wet weather this year, so it's like no single speeds for me.
This is a fairly new-looking bike. Tell me about it.
Yeah, super excited. It's bright orange, Santa Cruz Stigmata. I was waiting for a while to find one because my cross bike has been inoperable for like 3 weeks, so excited to finally have a bike that I can ride and race on.
Did you have any mechanical issues today? I saw you spinning your front wheel.
No, I think I took a bail in the sand, and then my headset is loose, and I think my star nut is stripped now, but I rode it out.
A star nut strip? That sounds painful.
Sorry, not star nut, but in my headset, I'm pretty sure it's stripped. But we'll see in a little bit here.
Okay. So how did the race go for you today?
It was bad. I haven't been really riding, so my fitness is pretty poor. It was awesome weather, though. I actually thought it was a good track. I felt like my legs were coming back at the end, but, man, the first couple laps just bit out the back and was just hanging on.
Did you go down at all today, or did you stay upright?
I went down in the sand. I bailed out last minute a couple times, but never crashed, so that was like a win for me.
How's your season been going?
Season hasn't really been going. Just now hoping I can make it out every weekend from here on out, which would get me, I think, the 6 out of 8 races, so that'd be nice to do. Other than that, haven't really been riding too much, honestly.
Well, you look pretty good out there today. How was the field competition? Are these the typical guys you're racing against?
No, I raced the B's last year, and that was fun. This year, it's just like, it's tough hanging with the A's. They're fast, especially when you don't ride. It's really, really hard. And then it's never fun getting passed, so it's demoralizing.
Did you get passed today?
I got passed by some serious single speeders, and I can't remember if I got passed by anybody else. But
not you didn't get lapped, though, right?
No, I don't think Hooper passed me, so that's good. That's a win.
Well, good job. Do you know what you got for the results yet?
No clue. I'm assuming I'm going to go with like 13th.
Okay. Well, we'll look it up and post it in here at the end. But good job today.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys coming out.
Yeah, no problem.